Welcome to Invitations to Play, Learn, Grow, the podcast. I am your creative solutions creator and professional mess maker, and I am back with another fun learning and skill building episode to dive into together. I am still slightly under the weather, so forgive me if I cough here and there throughout this episode. Just like that. Forgive me. I'm much better than I was. And hopefully that will continue. This week, I wanted to talk about resilience. I wanted to talk about how we as adults can make the kids in our lives more resilient as human beings. Not just as kids now, but as they grow older and go through the different stages of life. I am going to share some different ideas with you around resilience. But I wanted to remind you that before I got sick, I had started talking about how I was going to change the format of these episodes. And I was going to offer 5 activities that would support each week's topic and talk about the result that each activity would produce. So I am going to do my best to lean more and more into that format with the episodes to come. But one of the ways that we can teach the kids in our lives resilience is by exploring this concept that I talked about last week, and I think I've talked about throughout this podcast in the different seasons, which is bucket filling and being bucket fillers, or this concept that I came across as I was doing a little bit of research for this episode of being a bucket dipper. So a bucket filler is when we lift other people up and we do good deeds or we pay people compliments or do all of these kind acts for other people, which in turn make us feel good. But what is more common is that we do the opposite. Most times without realizing it, we become bucket dippers, where we snap at each other or we say something that ends up hurting somebody's feelings, or we unintentionally misuse something that belongs to somebody else. These are bucket dipper activities. And a form of resilience is teaching the kids how to be bucket fillers over bucket dippers. Teaching the children in our lives how to do and behave in ways or engage in ways that make other people feel good, that will in turn make them feel good because they themselves are doing good. And so what I wanted to do was offer you 5 ways that we can encourage being bucket fillers or practice being bucket fillers that build resilience. And I was a little bit surprised at some of these and how they actually build resilience. So the first one is a bucket filler activity. It's doing good deeds. And the way that doing good deeds builds resilience is because, as I said, when we do a good deed for somebody else, we feel good because we've done something that was outside of ourselves. And oftentimes when we do something that is outside of ourselves, we are reminded of our capabilities, which makes us feel good about ourselves, which builds resilience. It gives us that ability to send ourselves a silent little reminder when times get tough that, yeah, we really do have what it takes to get through a difficult or challenging situation. The second one is routines. So routines and having routines can build resilience as well. Now, that's not necessarily a bucket filler thing, but being more resilient and instilling in the kids in our lives the ability to be more resilient is in and of itself a bucket filler activity. And so if we can teach the kids in our lives and ourselves, I don't know about you, but I am definitely a routine kind of girl. I like my routines. Excuse me. I like to get up at the same time every day. I like to go to bed roughly at the same time every night. And what I find is that having a routine allows me to be more flexible. And actually, now that I think about it, having a routine actually does give me more resilience. It allows me to be more resilient. So that really is an activity that instilling routines in our kids and the kids in our lives really does help them become resilient. I had never thought of that before because as I'm thinking about it, once I go through my routine and I know my routine, I feel secure enough or relaxed enough to know what I need to get done or want to get done, that I can see the little spaces in my day where I can do a favor for someone else, or I can do an activity that I want to do that I maybe have put off for a while. Or for kids, maybe it gives them a few extra minutes in their day to do something that will help them regulate their own emotions or other needs. So perhaps a routine buys them a few extra minutes of playtime after they would do their homework, for instance. They get the homework out of the way. Magically, they have time between homework and dinner that they can do something for themselves, whether that's watching a little bit of YouTube, although that's not necessarily something that I encourage, or playing a board game or getting outside for a few minutes. All of these activities build resilience because being outside offers all kinds of health benefits that we tend to take for granted, which is useful and supportive for our kids. So that's interesting how, when I was actually thinking about it, I couldn't quite wrap my head around how having a routine would build resilience. And then I started talking about it, and it did actually make sense. The next one is problem solving. Problem solving is a resiliency building activity. Problem solving, again, allows kids to recognize their own innate skill sets, and that gives them a sense of resilience. This idea that they have the ability to figure out something that is difficult, or something that is challenging, or maybe even something that is emotionally or psychologically stressing. I love getting kids engaged in doing problem-solving activities. To me, they're fun. They're a way to get to kids to do things that either A, they wouldn't otherwise choose to do, or they might convince themselves that they don't have the ability or the skill sets to do, hence building resilience. And I'm going to get back into some of these with giving you some activity examples. I just wanted to kind of check through the list first. Number 4 is engaging questions. And I like this technique of building resilience because I used this one a lot in the classroom, and it ties into problem solving. Because engaging in conversation through asking questions allows kids to think through situations that allows them to see things in a way that they wouldn't recognize if they were facing a situation on their own. So an example of that could be if they're arguing with a friend over a toy. And if you intercede as an adult, and instead of solving the problem for them, ask questions like, what are we arguing about? Why are we having this disagreement? Who had this toy or this object first? Why aren't we discussing this calmly instead of arguing with each other? Or even asking them, how does it make you feel that so-and-so took this thing from you? Or how does it make you feel that so-and-so got this thing first when you wanted to play with it at the same time? Asking these questions diverts kids' emotions by distracting their thought process and gets them to think through these things rationally over emotionally. And so you can solve problems that feel overwhelming to kids by engaging in questions. Questions are great for engaging kids who are resilient to learning something new as well. And when I go back and give you some activity examples, I'm going to talk more about that. And then the 5th way of building resilience in kids is, as adults, from our perspective, acknowledging kids' emotions, but getting them to acknowledge their emotions and why they're having the emotions and how they could alleviate the emotions in a more productive way. All of these things are ways that we can encourage kids to practice and build resilience. So let's go back to problem solving, and I'll get into the first 2 with examples as well, but 3, 4, and 5 have some opportunities for fun learning and skill building examples. Forgive me, I really do apologize for coughing so much, but I am on the mend, so that is a good thing. So problem solving activities. If you've listened to this podcast for any length of time, you know that I am all about using play experiences to get kids to learn and build new skills. And so those are the examples that I'm going to give you here. Problem solving. I have a few topics that I try really hard not to go back to time and time again, but there are some topics that lend themselves really easily to examples. So you can insert your own theme or subject or whatever, but I'm going to give you objective examples here. problem solving. Getting kids engaged in robotics, building robots, is great for problem solving because robots are used for a purpose. And you can think about robots in terms of vehicles, which can be tied to construction, which can be tied to transportation. So you can use these ideas even if the kids in your life aren't specifically interested in robots themselves. But asking the question, how do things work? Or what is this used for? Or why does it operate the way that it does? Asking these kinds of questions sparks interest and curiosity in a topic that kids might not otherwise be curious about on their own. So, robotics. When I was running summer camps, when that was a thing that we were doing, kids really got excited about robots because they got excited about what they could build a robot for. So I heard things like, I'm going to build a robot to dig holes, or I'm going to build a robot to fold my clothes, or I'm going to build a robot to feed my dog. They got creative about building a robot that would do something that they didn't want to do. Which opened up a doorway, again, to talk about something like construction. And talking about how construction vehicles, although they weren't robots, were similar because they were a machine that was used for a specific purpose. And that got kids excited to ask questions about how things work and what would happen if, which engages experimentation, which is all different areas of learning and skill building and critical thinking. And when you allow kids to engage in these kinds of activities, again, coming back to our overall topic, they build resiliency because they have an idea that they're unsure about, or maybe even slightly insecure to test, but become curious about the outcome and they want to test it. And so they can do so using something like robotics. Or even using something like construction techniques. So if they asked a question like, what would happen if you mixed this ingredient and this ingredient together and tried to use it to build X, what would happen? Those are science skills. Those are math skills. Those are eye-hand coordination skills. All of this is learning and skill building through play and exploration and experimentation. And I hope you are getting as excited about this stuff as I am as I'm talking about it, because I really love engaging kids in these types of experiences. Because even though you think you know what's going to happen as an adult, we get to learn things as well, because things may not work out the way that we think that they would. So with the transportation example and asking the question, how do things work? You can explore all kinds of science around different types of transportation or different types of vehicles, whether it's a plane or a boat or an automobile or a piece of construction equipment. And you can do experiments with these things, and you can tinker with loose parts and think about theories about why certain parts put together in certain ways make certain things happen. And as you do that, kids become excited about testing out ideas. So though they may not have started out excited about construction or building a treehouse or building a birdhouse or building a vehicle, they get excited about the experimentation aspect and figuring out what's going to happen or why things happen the way that they do. And that practices problem-solving skills. Because then you get kids thinking about, well, what if we did this? So asking kids about a problem they want to solve and then getting them to design an experiment or an activity to solve that problem engages all kinds of thinking, all kinds of learning, and all kinds of skill building as you're engaging in problem solving. You're also engaging in asking questions and building conversations around interesting topics that spark kids' interest as they discuss different ideas and techniques and challenges with other people. So we started talking about bucket fillers and bucket dippers in this week's episode, which tied into building resiliency in kids. And we got into some examples of ways that you can do things like practicing problem solving and using questions to build curiosity. But you can set up activities that allow kids to acknowledge their emotions as well, because you can get kids excited about doing experiments and get them to express their emotions about their experience with the outcome of the experiment. So you could ask questions like, you got really excited when we mixed these different chemicals together and they did X. What did you feel about the way that that reaction happened? Or was that the outcome that you expected? Or what did that reaction make you feel? Or what did that reaction make you think? Or what did that reaction remind you of? Asking questions like this can spark emotional reactions in kids that you might not expect. So engaging in experiments that have a certain outcome can trigger experiences in kids and get them to think about things that you wouldn't expect them to think about, which can trigger certain emotions. And then that opens up the ability to, or the opportunity to have a conversation around emotions. I real quick want to take a break here and apologize if you guys heard dogs barking in the background. That is a hazard of moving around as you're filming a podcast. That was not something I anticipated coming across, so I want to apologize for that little disruption. But another fun way to get kids to go through and explore emotions is through creative experiences and through play experiences. I talk a lot on this podcast about dramatic play experiences and how engaging in dramatic play experiences, like some of the things we've talked about here, like construction or gardening or I'm trying to think of dancing or singing or acting on a stage, puts kids in a different frame of mind. They forget almost that they are engaging in this play as themselves, and they take on the role of what their play is about. So if they're a construction worker, they become a construction worker and they're not Susie or Ricky anymore. They become the construction worker and they take on the attitude and the thoughts and the feelings of the construction worker. And that's a really good opportunity to engage in conversations about their play and about their experience in the play. And that can get them to talk about things maybe that are unrelated to the play, but that they, as the construction worker, are inspired to talk about through the construction worker's perspective. So play experiences can be a really fun way to get kids to express themselves in a relaxed and unpressured way. Another fun one is restaurant or chef. Kids can cook and make concoctions and create dishes, which could distract them or inspire them to be creative and express curiosity about things that you might not be able to get them to express curiosity about without engaging in that kind of play. So they might start to mix different ingredients together and start telling a story about what inspired them to mix these ingredients together, which might tie into an experience that they had in the past. Or maybe an interaction that they had with another person in their life. And play has the freeing ability to allow kids to express themselves when they're not thinking about talking about something that is uncomfortable. They're thinking about engaging in their play. So these are some fun examples that I like to share that you can use again and again and again with different purposes in different ways with different kids of different ages or skill levels, which is why I go back and back and back to the same examples, because I hope that each time I share a story around a specific kind of play, you take something new out of it, which is why I go back to gardening all the time. It's something that I personally enjoy. I enjoy being outside. But you're always learning something new. So I may talk about the care that specific plants need and encourage you to engage kids in planting their own plants or trees or food or whatever, but each time I'm hoping you take something different from the individual lessons that I share. For instance, I might talk about growing tomatoes multiple times, and one example might be about specifically about learning about tomatoes and the life cycle of tomatoes and what tomatoes need to be healthy as a plant. But then the other time I talk about kids growing tomatoes and caring for tomato plants and harvesting tomato plants and tomatoes and turning those tomatoes into something else could be about independence and small motor skills and communication and language building as they create a recipe, and building stronger reading skills as they learn to read the recipe, and teamwork skills as they work together to do different aspects of a job of taking a tomato and turning it into a tomato sauce or pizza sauce, and then going further and building the actual pizza. So I use examples like that again and again and again with different purposeful outcomes. I've gone a little long on this episode because I wanted to include some activity inspiration for you. But I hope that you get a lot out of this week's episode, because I really think we need to support the kids in our lives as we start this new school year. Yes, we are still at the start of this new school year. And building resilience in the kids in our lives is something we should practice all year round in the different lessons that we teach, as well as being bucket fillers. Being bucket fillers and teaching kids how to counteract being bucket dippers is something we should practice all year long. Because these are skills that kids need to get better and better and better at. It's not a one and done kind of experience. And so I hope that as I went through the different benefits and ways of practicing building resilience in the kids in our lives, I hope you will be inspired to encourage the kids in your lives to practice building better resilience for themselves, as well as being bucket fillers with the people around them. Because especially with people that we encounter on a regular basis, the more we can become bucket fillers, the more we are going to leave a positive effect on the world around us. And when we leave a positive effect on the world around us, we as individuals become better people. And when we become better people, more connected people, more giving people, more respectful people, we make the world a better place. And that is what I really want to encourage, is this idea that we as adults, as well as kids of all ages, can always improve and become better in many different areas of who we are. And one of those is the way that we treat people and the world around us. So I'm going to wrap up this episode with a real quick reminder. I want to invite you to join me in my virtual events. I have two of them that I offer each and every week. It's an opportunity to come together virtually and see each other face to face and get to know each other as people as we share creative learning and skill building activities. So you can head over to thecreativecampusonline.com and learn more about those events. You can register, and I hope you will join me in the weeks and months to come. I would love to get to know you all more on a personal level, as I hope you would be interested and excited to get to know me on a more personal level as well. Have a great week, and I will talk to you next time.